Rufus is here. I think our fellows are asleep.
Where's Cotus? My master calls for him. Cotus!
A goodly house. The feast smells well, but I appear not like a guest.
Hey, what would you have, friend? Whence are you? Here's no place for you. Pray go to the door.
I've deserved no better entertainment in being Coriolanus.
Whence are you, sir? Has the porter his eyes in his head that he gives entrance to such companions? Pray, get you out.
Away.
Away? Get you away.
Now, thou art troublesome.
Are you so brave? I'll have you talked with anon.
You know what, fellow's this?
A strange one as ever I looked on. I cannot get him out of the house. Prithee, call my master to him.
What have you to do here, fellow? Pray you, avoid the house.
Let me but stand. I will not hurt your heart.
What are you?
A gentleman.
Marvellous poor one.
True, so I am.
Pray you, poor gentleman, take up some other station. Here's no place for you. Pray you avoid. Come.
Follow your function. Go and batten on cold bits.
What? You will not? Prithee, tell my master what a strange guest he has here.
And I shall.
Where dwellest thou?
Under the canopy.
Under the canopy?
Aye.
Where's that?
In the city of kites and crows.
The city of kites and crows? What an ass it is. Then thou dwellest with doors, too.
No, I serve not thy master.
How, sir? Do you meddle with my master?
Aye, it is an honester service than to meddle with thy mistress, thou prince and prince. Serve with thy trencher. Hats!
Where is this fellow?
Here, sir. I'd have beaten him like a dog, but for disturbing the lords within.
Whence comest thou? What wouldst thou? Thy name? Why speaks not? Speak, man. What's thy name?
If, Tullus, not yet thou knowest me, and seeing me, dost not think me for the man I am, necessity commands me name myself.
What is thy name?
A name unmusical to the Volscian's ears and harsh in sound to thine.
Say, what's thy name? Thou hast a grim appearance, and thy face bears a commandant. Though thy tackle's torn, thou showest a noble vessel. What's thy name?
Prepare thy brow to frown. Knowest thou me yet?
I know thee not. Thy name?
My name is Caius Martius, who hath done to thee particularly and to all the Volsces great hurt and mischief. Thereto witness may my surname, Coriolanus. The painful service, the extreme dangers, and the drops of blood shed for my thankless country are requited but with that surname, a good memory and witness of the malice and displeasure which thou shouldst bear me. Only that name remains. The cruelty and envy of the people permitted by our dastard nobles who have all forsook me hath devoured the rest and suffered me by the voice of slaves to be whooped out of Rome. Now this extremity hath brought me to thy hearth, not out of hope, mistake me not, to save my life. For if I had feared death of all the men in the world, I would have voided thee, but in mere spite to be full quit of those my banishers, stand I before thee here. Then if thou hast a heart of wreak in thee, that wilt revenge thine own particular wrongs, and stop those maims of shame seen through thy country, speed thee straight, and make my misery serve thy turn. So use it, that my revengeful services may prove as benefits to thee. For I will fight against my cankered country with the spleen of all the underfiends. But if so be, thou darest not this, and that to prove more fortunes thou art tired, then, in a word, I also am longer to live most weary, and present my throat to thee, and to thy ancient malice, which not to cut would show thee but a fool, since I have ever followed thee with hate, drawn tons of blood out of thy country's breast, and cannot live but to thy shame, unless it be to do thee service.
Oh, Martius, Martius, each word thou hast spoke hath weeded from my heart a root of ancient envy. If Jupiter should from yon cloud speak divine things and say 'tis true, I'd not believe them more than thee. All noble Martius, let me twine mine arms about thy body, where against my grained ash 100 times hath broke and scarred the moon with splinters. Here I clip the anvil of my sword, and do contest as hotly and as nobly with thy love as ever in ambitious strength I did contend against thy valour. Know thou first, I loved the maid I married, never man sighed truer breath. But that I see thee here, thou noble thing, more dances my rapt heart than when I first my wedded mistress saw bestride my threshold. Why, thou Mars, I tell thee, we have a power on foot, and I had purpose once more to hew thy target from thy brawn or lose mine arm for't. Thou hast beat me out 12 several times, and I have nightly since dreamt of encounters twixt thyself and me. We have been down together in my sleep, unbuckling helms, fisting each other's throat, and waked half dead with nothing. Worthy Martius, had we no other quarrel else to roam but that thou art thence banished, we would muster all from 12 to 70, and, pouring war into the bowels of ungrateful Rome, like a bold flood o'erbeat. Oh, come, go in, and take our friendly senators by the hands, who now are here, taking their leaves of me, who am prepared against your territories, though not for Rome itself.
You bless me, gods!
Therefore, most absolute sir, if thou wilt have the leading of thine own revenges, take the one half of my commission and set down, as best thou art experienced, since thou knowest thy country's strength and weakness, thine own ways, whether to knock against the gates of Rome, or rudely visit them in parts remote to fright them ere destroy. But come in. Let me commend thee first to those that shall say yea to thy desires. 1,000 welcomes, and more a friend than e'er an enemy. Yet, Martius, that was much. Your hand, most welcome.
Here's a strange alteration. Oh, by my hand. I had thought to have struck in him with a cudgel, and yet my mind gave me his clothes made a false report of him.
What an arm he has. Mm. He turned me about with his finger and his thumb as one would set up a top.
Nay, I knew by his face that there was something in him. Mm. He had, sir, a kind of face, methought. Oh, I cannot tell how to term it.
He had so, looking as it were, would I were hanged, but I thought there was more in him than I could think.
Oh, so did I, I'll be sworn. He is simply the rarest man in the world.
I think he is, but a greater soldier than he you wot on.
Who, my master?
Nay, it's no matter for that.
Worth 6 on him.
Nay, not so neither, but I take him to be the greater soldier.
Faith, look you, one cannot tell how to say that. For the defence of a town, our general is excellent.
Aye, and for an assault, too.
Oh, slaves, I can tell you news. News, you rascals.
What? Let's partake.
I would not be a Roman of all nations. I had as lief be a condemned man.
Wherefore?
Why, here's he that was wont to thwack our general, Caius Martius.
Why do you say thwack our general? Mm.
I do not say thwack our general, but he was always good enough for him.
Oh, come. We are fellows and friends. He was ever too hard for him. I have heard him say so himself.
He was too hard for him directly, to say the troth on't. Before Coriolis, he scotched him and notched him like a carbonado.
And had he been cannibally given, he might have boiled and eaten him too.
But more of thy news.
Why, he is so made on here within, as if he were son and heir to Mars. Set at upper end of the table, no question asked him by any of the senators, but they stand bald before him. Oh. Our general himself makes a mistress of him, sanctifies himself with hand, and turns up the white of the eye to his discourse. But the bottom of the news is, our general is cut at the middle and but one half of what he was yesterday, for the other has half by the entreaty and grant of the whole table. He'll go, he says, and sow the porter of Rome gates by the ears. He will mow all down before him and leave his passage pole.
And he's as like to do it as any man I can imagine.
Do it? He will. He'll do it. For look you, sir, he has as many friends as enemies. Mm. Which friends, sir, as it were, durst not, look you, sir, show themselves, as we term it, his friends, whilst he's in directitude.
Directitude? What's that?
But when they shall see, sir, his crest up again, and the man in blood, they will out of their burrows like conies after rain and revel all with him.
But when goes this forward?
Tomorrow. Oh. Today, presently. Yeah. You shall have the drum struck up this afternoon. Oh. 'Tis, as it were, a parcel of their feast, and to be executed ere they wipe their lips.
Why, then we shall have a stirring world again. This piece is nothing but to rust iron, increase tailors, and breed ballad makers.
Let me have war, say I. It exceeds peace as far as day does night. It's sprightly, waking, audible and full of vent. Peace is a very apoplexy, lethargy, mulled, deaf, sleepy, insensible, a getter of more bastard children than war's a destroyer of men.
Tis so. And as war in some sort may be said to be a ravisher, so it cannot be denied, but peace is a great maker of cuckolds.
Aye, and it makes men hate one another.
Reason, because they then less need one another. The war's for my money. I hope to see Romans as cheap as Volscians. They are rising! They are rising!
We hear not of him, neither need we fear him. His remedies are tame. The present peace and quietness of the people, which before were in wild hurry. Here do we make his friends blush that the world goes well, who rather had, though they themselves did suffer by it, behold dissentious numbers pestering streets, than see our tradesmen singing in their shops and going about their functions friendly.
We stood to it in good time. Is this Menenius?
Tis he, tis he. Oh, he has grown most kind of late. Hail, sir.
Hail to you both.
Your Coriolanus is not much missed but with his friends. The Commonwealth doth stand, and so would do were he more angry at it.
All's well, and might have been much better if he could have temporized.
Where is he? Hear you?
Nay, I hear nothing. His mother and his wife hear nothing from him.
May God's preserve you both.
Good e'en, our neighbours.
Good e'en to you all.
Good e'en to you all.
Ourselves, our wives and children, on our knees are bound to pray for you both.
Live and thrive.
Farewell, kind neighbours. We wished Coriolanus had loved you as we did.
Farewell, farewell. This is a happier and more comely time than when these fellows ran about the streets crying confusion.
Caius Martius was a worthy officer of the war, but insolent, o'ercome with pride, ambitious past all thinking, self-loving...
And affecting one sole throne without assistance?
I think not so.
We should by this, to all our lamentation, if he had gone forth consul, found it so.
The gods have well prevented it, and Rome sits safe and still without him.
Worthy tribunes, there is a slave whom we have put in prison. Reports the vultures with two several powers are entered in the Roman territories, and with the deepest malice of the war destroy what lies before him.
'Tis Aufidius, who, hearing of our Martius banishment, thrusts forth his horns again into the world, which were inshelled when Martius stood for Rome and durst not once peep out.
Come, what talk you of Martius?
Go see this rumorer whipped. It cannot be the Volsces dare break with us.
Cannot be? We have record that very well it can, and three examples of the like hath been within my age. But reason with the fellow before you punish him where he heard this, lest you shall chance to whip your information and beat the messenger who bids beware of what is to be dreaded.
Tell not me I know this cannot be.
Not possible.
The nobles in great earnestness are going all to the Senate House. Some news is coming that turns their countenances.
'Tis this slave! Go whip him for the people's eyes. He's raising nothing but his report.
Yes, worthy sir, the slave's report is seconded, and more fearful is delivered.
What more fearful?
It is spoke freely out of many mouths, how probable I do not know, that Martius, joined with Aufidius, leads a power against Rome, and vows revenge as spacious as between the youngest and oldest thing.
But this is most likely.
Raised only that the weaker sort may wish good Martius home again.
The very trick on
this is unlikely. He and Aufidius can no more atone than violence to contrariety.
You are sent for to the Senate. A fearful army led by Caius Martius, associated with Aufidius, rages upon our territories and have already overborne their way, consumed with fire, and took what lay before them.
Oh, you have made good work.
What news? What news?
You have hoped to ravish your own daughters and to melt the city leads upon your pates, to see your wives dishonored to your noses.
What's the news?
Your
what's the news?
Temples burned in their cement, and your franchises, whereon you stood, confined into an augur's ball.
Pray now, your news. You have made fair work, I fear me. Pray, your news. If Martius should be joined with Volscians...
If he is their god, He leads them like a thing made by some other deity than nature that shapes man better. And they follow him against us brats with no less confidence than boys pursuing summer butterflies or butchers killing flies.
You have made good work, you and your apron men, you that stood so much upon the voice of occupation and the breath of garlic eaters.
You shake your Rome about your ears.
As Hercules did shake down mellow fruit, you have made fair work.
But is this true, sir?
Aye, and you'll look pale before you find it other. All the regions do smilingly revolt, and who resists are mocked for valiant ignorance and perish constant fools. Whoist can blame him? Your enemies and his find something in him.
We are all undone unless the noble man hath mercy.
Who shall ask it? The tribunes cannot do it for shame. The people deserve such pity of him as the wolf does of the shepherds. For his best friends, if they should say, be good to Rome, they charged him even as those should do that had deserved his hate, and therein showed like enemies.
'Tis true. If he were putting to my house the brand that should consume it, I have not the face to say, beseech you cease. You have made fair hands, you and your crafts. You have crafted fair.
You have brought a trembling upon Rome such as was never so incapable of help.
Say not we brought it.
Must we? We loved him, but like beasts and cowardly nobles gave way unto your clusters, who did hoot him out of the city.
But I fear they'll roar him in again. Tell us, Aphidius, the second name of men, obeys his points as if he were his officer. Desperation is all the policy, strength, and defense that Rome can make against them.
Here come the clusters. And is Aphidius with him? You are they that made the air unwholesome when you cast your stinking, greasy caps in hooting at Coriolanus' exile. Now he's coming, and not a hair upon a soldier's head which will not prove a whip. As many coxcombs as you threw caps up will he tumble down and pay you for your voices. 'Tis no matter. If he could burn us all into one coal, we have deserved it.
Faith, we have
yes, for mine own part, when I said banish him, I said 'twas pity.
So did I, and so did I. And to say the truth, so did very many of us. That we did for the best. And though we willingly consented to his banishment, yet it was against our will.
You are goodly things, you voices.
You have made good work, you and your cry. Trust to the capital.
Oh, aye. What else?
Go, masters, get you home. Be not dismayed. These are a side that would be glad to have this true, which they so seem to fear. Go home, and show no sign of fear.
Oh, the gods be good to us. Come, masters, let's home. I ever said we were the wrong when we banished him.
So did we all, but come, let's home.
I do not like this news.
Nor I.
Let's to the capital. Would half my wealth would buy this for a lie.
Pray, let us go.
Do they still fly to the Roman?
I do not know what witchcraft's in him, but your soldiers use him as the grace for meat, their talk at table and their thanks at end. And you are darkened in this action, sir, even by your own.
I cannot help it now, unless by using means I'll aim the foot of our design. He bears himself more proudly, even to my person, than I thought he would when first I did embrace him. Yet his nature in that's no changeling, and I must excuse what cannot be amended.
Yet I wish, sir, I mean for your particular, you had not joined in commission with him, but either had borne the action of yourself, or else to him had left it solely.
I understand thee well. And be thou sure, when he shall come to his account, he knows not what I can urge against him. Although it seems, and so he thinks, and is no less apparent to the vulgar eye, that he bears all things fairly, and shows good husbandry for the Volscian state, fights dragon-like, and does achieve as soon as draw his sword, yet he hath left undone that which shall break his neck or hazard mine whene'er we come to our account.
Sir, I beseech you, think you he'll carry Rome?
All places yield to him ere he sits down, and the nobility of Rome are his. The senators and patricians love him too. The tribunes are no soldiers, and their people will be as rash in the repeal as hasty to expel him thence. I think he'll be to Rome as is the osprey to the fish, who takes it by sovereignty of nature. First, he was a noble servant to them, but he could not carry his honours even. Whether 'twas pride, which out of daily fortune ever taints the happy man, whether defect of judgment to fail in the disposing of those chances which he was lord of, or whether nature, not to be other than one thing, not moving from the cast to the cushion, but commanding peace, even with the same austerity and garb as he controlled the war. But one of these, as he hath spices of them all, not all, for I dare so far free him, made him feared, so hated and so banished. But he has a merit to choke it in the utterance. So, our virtues lie in the interpretation of the time, and power, unto itself most commendable, hath not a tomb so evident as a chair to extol what it hath done. One fire drives out one fire, one nail, one nail. Rights by rights founder, strengths by strengths do fail. Come, let's away. When, Caius, Rome is thine, thou art poorest of all, then shortly art thou mine.
No, I'll not go. You hear what he hath said, which was sometime his general, who loved him in a most dear particular. He called me father, but what of that? Go, you that banished him, a mile before his tent, fall down and knee the way into his mercy. Nay, if he coy to hear Cominius speak, I'll keep at home.
He would not seem to know me.
Do you hear?
Yet one time he did call me by my name. I urged our old acquaintance and the drops that we have bled together. Coriolanus he would not answer to, forbade all names. He was a kind of nothing, titleless, till he had forged himself a name or the fire of burning Rome.
My son, you have made good work, a pair of tribunes that have racked for Rome to make coals cheap. A noble memory.
I minded him how royal 'twas to pardon when it was less expected. He replied, it was a bare petition of a state to one whom they had punished.
Very well, could he say less?
I offered to awaken his regard for his private friends. His answer to me was he could not stay to pick them in a pile of noisome, musty chaff. He said 'twas folly for one poor grain or two to leave unburnt and still to nose the offence.
For one poor grain or two? I am one of those. His mother, wife, his child, and this brave fellow too, we are the grains. You are the musty chaff, and you are smelt above the moon. We must be burnt for you.
Nay, pray, be patient. If you refuse your aid in this so never-needed help, yet do not upbraids with our distress. But sure, if you would be your country's pleader, your good tongue, more than the instant army we can make, might stop our countrymen.
No, I'll not meddle.
Pray you, go to him.
What should I do?
Only make trial what your love can do for Rome toward Marcius.
Well, and say that Marcius return me as Cominius is returned, unheard, what then? But as a discontented friend, grief-shot with his unkindness. Say it be so.
Yet your goodwill must have that thanks from Rome after the measure as you intended well.
I'll undertake it. I think he'll hear me. Yet, bite his lip and hum at good Cominius much unhearts me. He was not taken well. He had not dined. The veins unfilled, our blood is cold, and then we pout upon the morning, are unapt to give or to forgive. But when we have stuffed these pipes and these conveyances of our blood with wine and feeding, we have suppler souls than in our priest-like fasts. Therefore, I'll watch him till he be dieted to my request, and then I'll set upon him.
You know the very road into his kindness, and cannot lose your way.
Good faith, I'll prove him. Speed how it will. I shall ere long have knowledge of my success.
You'll never hear him.
Not?
I tell you, he does sit in gold, his eye red as 'twould burn Rome, and his injury the jailer to his pity. I kneeled before him. 'Twas very faintly he said, rise. Dismissed me thus with his speechless hand. What he would do, he sent in writing after me. What he would not, bound with an oath to yield to his conditions, so that all hope is vain. Unless his noble mother and his wife, who, as I hear, mean to solicit him for mercy to his country, Therefore, let's hence, and with our fair entreaties, haste them on.
Stay! Whence are you?
Stand and go back.
You guard like men, 'tis well. But by your leave, I am an officer of state, and come to speak with Coriolanus.
From whence?
From Rome.
You may not pass. You must return. Our general will no more hear from thence.
You'll see your Rome embrace with fire before you'll speak with Coriolanus.
Good, my friends. If you have heard your general talk of Rome and of his friends there, it is Lots to Blanks my name hath touched your ears. It is Menenius.
Be it so. Go back. The virtue of your name is not here passable.
I tell thee, fellow, thy general is my lover. I have been the book of his good acts, whence men have read his fame unparalleled, haply amplified. For I have ever verified my friends, of whom he's chief, with all the sighs that verity would without lapsing suffer. Nay, sometimes, like to a bowl upon a subtle ground, I have tumbled past the throw, and in his praise have almost stamped the leasing. Therefore, fellow, I must have leave to pass.
Faith, sir, if you had told as many lies in his behalf as you have uttered words in your own, you should not pass here. No, though it were as virtuous to lie as to live chastely. Therefore, go back.
Prithee, fellow, remember, my name is Menenius, always factionary on the party of your general.
Howsoever you have been his liar, as you say you have, I am one that, telling true under him, must say you cannot pass. Therefore, go back.
Has he dined, canst thou tell? For I would not speak with him till after dinner.
You are a Roman, are you?
I am, as thy general is.
Then you should hate Rome as he does. Can you, when you have pushed out your gates, the very defender of them, and in a violent popular ignorance, given your enemy your shield, think to front his revenges with the easy groans of old women, the virginal palms of your daughters, or with the palsied intercession of such a decayed dotant as you seem to be? Can you think to blow out the intended fire your city is ready to flame in with such weak breath as this? No, you are deceived. Therefore, back to Rome and prepare for your execution. You are condemned. Our general has sworn you out of reprieve and pardon.
Sir, if thy captain knew I were here, he would use me with estimation.
Come, my captain knows you not.
I mean thy general.
My general cares not for you. Back, I say. Go, lest I let forth your half pint of blood. Back. That's the utmost of your having. Back!
Nay, but fellow, fellow.
What's the matter?
Now, you companion, I say an errand for you. You shall know now that I am in estimation. You shall perceive that a Jack Gardant cannot office me from my son, Coriolanus. Yes, but by my entertainment with him. If thou standst not in the state of hanging or of some death more long in spectatorship and crueler in suffering, behold now presently and swooned for what's to come upon thee. The glorious gods sit in hourly synod about thy particular prosperity and love thee no worse than thy old father Menenius does. Oh, my son, thou art preparing fire for us. Look thee, here's water to quench it. I was hardly moved to come to thee, but being assured none but myself could move thee, I have been blown out of our gates with sighs, and conjure thee to pardon Rome and thy petitionary countrymen. The good gods assuage thy wrath, and turn the dregs of it upon this varlet here, this who like a block hath denied my access to thee.
Away.
Away?
Wife, mother, child, I know not. My affairs are servanted to others. Though I owe my revenge properly, my remission lies in Volscian breasts. That we have been familiar, ingrate forgetfulness shall poison rather than pity note how much. Therefore, be gone. Mine ears against your suits are stronger than your gates against my force. Yet, for I loved thee, take this along. I writ it for thy sake, and would have sent it. Another word, Menenius, I will not hear thee speak. This man, Aufidius, was my beloved in Rome, yet thou beholdst.
You keep a constant temper.
Now, sir, is your name Menenius?
'Tis a spell, you see, of much power. You know the way home again.
Do you hear how we are shent for keeping your greatness back?
What cause do you think I have to swound?
I neither care for the world nor your general. For such things as you, I can scarce think there's any you're so slight. He that hath a will to die by himself fears it not from another. Let your general do his worst. For you, be that you are, long, and your misery increase with your age. I say to you, as I was said to, away.
A noble fellow, I warrant him.
Now, the worthy fellow is our general. He's the rock, the oak, not to be windshaken.
We will, before the walls of Rome tomorrow, set down our host. My partner in this action, you must report to the Volscian lords how plainly I have borne this business.
Only their ends you have respected. Stopped your ears against the general suit of Rome. Never admitted a private whisper. No, not with such friends that thought them sure of you.
This last old man, whom with a cracked heart I have sent to Rome, loved me above the measure of a father. Nay, godded me, indeed. Their latest refuge was to send him, for whose old love I have, though I showed sourly to him, once more offered the first conditions, which they did refuse and cannot now accept, to grace him only that thought he could do more. A very little I have yielded to. Fresh embassies and suits, nor from the state nor private friends, hereafter will I lend ear to. Ah, what shout is this? Shall I be tempted to infringe my vow in the same time 'tis made? I will not. My wife comes foremost, then the honored mold wherein this trunk was framed, and in her hand the grandchild to her blood, but out affection, all bond and privilege of nature break. Let it be virtuous to be obstinate. What is that curtsy worth, or those dove's eyes which can make gods forsworn? I melt, and am not of stronger earth than others. My mother bows, as if Olympus to a molehill should in supplication nod, and my young boy hath an aspect of intercession which great nature cries, deny not. Let the Volsces plough Rome and harrow Italy. I'll never be such a gosling to obey instinct, but stand as if a man were author of himself and knew no other kin.
My lord and husband.
These eyes are not the same I wore in Rome.
The sorrow that delivers us thus changed makes you think so.
Like a dull actor now, I have forgot my part, and I am out even to a full disgrace. Best of my flesh, forgive my tyranny, but do not say for that, forgive our Romans. Oh, a kiss. Long as my exile, sweet as my revenge. Now, by the jealous queen of heaven, that kiss I carried from thee, dear, and my true lip hath virgined it e'er since. You gods, I prate, and the most noble mother of the world leave unsaluted. Oh, sink my knee, in the earth, of thy deep duty more impression show than that of common sons.
Oh, stand up, blessed. Whilst with no softer cushion than the flint, I kneel before thee, and unproperly show duty as mistaken all this while between the child and parent.
What is this? Your knees to me, to your corrected son. Then let the pebbles on the hungry beach fillip the stars. Then let the mutinous winds strike the proud cedars against the fiery sun, murdering impossibility to make what cannot be slight work.
Thou art my warrior. I hope to frame thee. Do you know this lady?
The noble sister of Publicola, the moon of Rome, chaste as the icicle that's curded by the frost from purest snow and hangs on Dian's temple. Dear Valeria.
This is a poor epitome of yours, which, by the interpretation of full time, may show like all yourself.
The god of soldiers, with the consent of supreme Jove, inform thy thoughts with nobleness, that thou mayst prove to shame invulnerable, and stick i' the wars like a great sea mark, standing every flaw and saving those that eye thee.
Nay, sirrah.
That's my brave boy.
Even he, your wife, this lady and myself are suitors to you.
I beseech you peace. Or if you'd ask, remember this before. The thing I have forsworn to grant may never be held by you denials. Do not bid me dismiss my soldiers or capitulate again with Rome's mechanics. Tell me not wherein I seem unnatural. Desire not to allay my rages and revenges with your colder reasons.
Oh, no more, no more. You have said you will not grant us anything. For we have nothing else to ask but that which you deny already, yet we will ask that if you fail in our request, the blame may hang upon your hardness. Therefore, hear us.
Aufidius, and you, Volsces, mark, for we'll hear naught from Rome in private. Your request.
Should we be silent and not speak, our raiment and state of bodies would bewray what life we have led since thy exile. Think with thyself. How more unfortunate than all living women are we come hither, since that thy sight, which should make our eyes flow with joy, hearts dance with comforts, constrains them weep and shake with fear and sorrow, making the mother, wife, and child to see the son, the husband, and the father tearing his country's bowels out. And to poor we thine enmity is most capital. Thou barrest us our prayers to the gods, which is a comfort that all but we enjoy. For how can we, alas, how can we for our country pray, whereto we are bound, together with thy victory, whereto we are bound? Alack, or we must lose the country, our dear nurse, or else thy person, our comfort in the country. We must find an evident calamity, though we had our wish which side should win. For either thou must, as a foreign recreant, be led with manacles through our streets, or else triumphantly tread on thy country's ruin and bear the palm for having bravely shed thy wife and children's blood. For myself, son, I purpose not to wait on fortune till these wars determine. If I cannot persuade thee rather to show a noble grace to both parts than seek the end of one, thou shalt no sooner march to assault thy country than to tread. Trust to it thou shalt not, on thy mother's womb that brought thee to this world.
Aye, and mine, that brought you forth this boy to keep your name living to time.
I shall not tread on me. I'll run away till I am bigger, but then I'll fight.
Not of a woman's tenderness to be requires nor child, nor woman's face to see. I have sat too long.
Nay, go not from us thus. If it were so that our request did tend to save the Romans, thereby to destroy the Volsces whom you serve, you might condemn us as poisoners of your honor. No, our suit is that you reconcile them, while the Volsces may say, this mercy we have showed, the Romans this we received, and each in either side give the all hail to thee and cry, be blessed for making up this peace. Thou knowest, great son, the end of war's uncertain, but this certain, that if thou conquer Rome, the benefit which thou shalt thereby reap is such a name whose repetition will be dogged with curses, whose chronicle thus writ, the man was noble, but with his last attempt he wiped it out, destroyed his country, and his name remains to the ensuing age abhorred. Speak to me, son. Thou hast affected the fine strains of honor to imitate the graces of the gods, to tear with thunder the wide cheeks of the air, and yet to change thy sulphur with a bolt that should but rive an oak. Why dost not speak? Think'st thou it honourable for a noble man still to remember wrongs? Daughter, speak you. He cares not for your weeping. Speak thou, boy. Perhaps thy childishness will move him more than can our reasons. There's no man in the world more bound to his mother. Yet here he lets me prate like one of the stocks. Thou hast never in thy life showed thy dear mother any courtesy. When she, poor hen, fond of no second brood, has clucked thee to the wars and safely home, loaden with honour. Say my request unjust and spurn me back. But if it be not so, thou art not honest, and the gods will plague thee that thou restrainest from me the duty which to a mother's part belongs. He turns away. Down, ladies! Let us shame him with our knees. To his surname, Coriolanus longs more pride than pity to our prayers. Down! An end! This is the last. So we will home to Rome and die among our neighbors. Nay, behold, this boy that cannot tell what he would have, but kneels and holds up hands for fellowship, does reason our petition with more strength than thou hast to deny it. Come, let us go. This fellow had a devotion to his mother. His wife is in Coriolis, and this child like him by chance. Yet give us our dispatch. I am hushed until our city be afire. Then I'll speak a little.
Oh, mother. Mother, what have you done? Behold, the heavens do ope. The gods look down, and this unnatural scene they laugh at. Oh, my mother. Mother. Oh, you have won a happy victory to Rome. But for your son, believe it, oh, believe it. Most dangerously you have with him prevailed, if not most mortal to him. But let it come. Aufidius, though I cannot make true wars, I'll frame convenient peace. Now, good Aufidius, were you in my stead, would you have heard a mother less or granted less, Aufidius?
I was moved withal.
I dare be sworn you were. And, sir, it is no little thing to make mine eyes to sweat compassion, but, good sir, what peace you'll make, advise me. For my part, I'll not to Rome. I'll back with you. And pray you, stand to me in this cause. Oh, mother! Wife!
I am glad thou hast set thy mercy and thy honour at difference in thee. Out of that I'll work myself a former fortune.
Aye, by and by. But we will drink together, and you shall bear a better witness back than words which we, on like conditions, will have countersealed. Come, enter with us. Ladies, you deserve to have a temple built you. All the swords in Italy and her confederate arms could not have made this peace.
See you yon coin of the capital, yon cornerstone.
Why, what of that?
If it be possible for you to displace it with your little finger, there is some hope the ladies of Rome, especially his mother, may prevail with him. But I say there is no hope in't. Our throats are sentenced and stay upon execution.
Is't possible that so short a time can alter the condition of a man?
There is difference between a grub and a butterfly, yet your butterfly was a grub. This Martius is grown from man to dragon. He has wings. He's more than a creeping thing.
He loved his mother dearly.
So did he me, and he no more remembers his mother now than an 8-year-old horse. The tartness of his face sours ripe grapes. When he walks, he moves like an engine, and the ground shrinks before his treading. He is able to pierce a corslet with his eye, talks like a knell, and his hum is a battery. He sits in his skate as a thing made for Alexander. What he bids be done is finished with his bidding. He wants nothing of a god but eternity and a heaven to throne in.
Yes, mercy, if you report him truly.
I paint him in the character. Mark what mercy his mother shall bring from him. There is no more mercy in him than there is milk in a male tiger. That shall our poor city find, and all this is long of you.
The gods be good unto us.
No, in such a case the gods will not be good unto us. When we banished him, we respected not them. And he, returning to break our necks, they respect not us.
If you'd save your life, fly to your house. The plebeians have got your fellow tribune, and hail him up and down, all swearing if the Roman ladies bring not comfort home, they'll give him death by inches.
What's the news?
Good news, good news. The ladies have prevailed. The Volscians are dislodged and Marcius gone. A merrier day did never yet greet Rome. No, not the expulsion of the Tarquins.
Friend, art thou certain this is true? Is't most certain?
As certain as I know the sun is fire. Where have you lurked that you make doubt of it? Ne'er through an arch so hurried the blown tide as the recomforted through the gates. Why, hark you! The trumpets, sackbuts, psalteries and fifes, tabors and cymbals and the shouting Romans make the sun dance. Hark you!
This is good news. I will go meet the ladies. This Volumnia is worth of consuls, senators, patricians, a city full, of tribunes such as you, a sea and land full. You have prayed well today. This morning, for 10,000 of your throats, I'd not have given a doit. Hark, how they joy!
First, the gods bless you for your tidings. Next, accept my thankfulness.
Sir, we have all great cause to give great thanks.
They are near the city.
Almost at point to enter.
We will meet them and help the joy.
Behold our patroness, the life of Rome. Call all your tribes together. Praise the gods and make triumphant fires. Strew flowers before them. Unshout the noise that banished Marcius. Repeal him with the welcome of his mother. Cry, welcome, ladies. Welcome.
Tell the lords of the city I am here. Deliver them this paper. Having read it, bid them repair to the marketplace, where I, even in theirs and in the commons' ears, will vouch the truth of it. Him I accuse, the city ports by this hath entered and intends to appear before the people, hoping to purge himself with words. Dispatch. Most welcome.
How is it with our general?
Even so, as with a man by his own arms in poisoned and with his charity slain.
Most noble sir, if you do hold the same intent wherein you wished us parties, we'll deliver you of your great danger.
Sir, I cannot tell. We must proceed as we do find the people.
The people will remain uncertain whilst twixt you there's difference. But the fall of either makes a survivor heir of all.
I know it. And my pretext to strike at him admits a good construction. I raised him, and I pawned mine honour for his truth. Who being so heightened, he watered his new plants with dews of flattery, seducing so my friends. And to this end, he bowed his nature, never known before, but to be rough, unswayable, and free.
Sir, his stoutness, when he did stand for consul, which he lost by lack of stupid...
That I would have spoke of. Being banished for it, he came unto my hearth, presented to my knife his throat. I took him. Made him joint servant with me, gave him way in all his own desires. Nay, let him choose out of my files his projects to accomplish, my best and freshest men. Served his desirements in mine own person, hoped to reap the fame which he did end all his, and took some pride to do myself this wrong. Till at the last I seemed his follower, not partner. And he waged me with his countenance as if I had been mercenary.
So he did, my lord. The army marveled at it.
And in the last, when he had carried Roman, that we looked for no less spoil than glory.
There was it, for which my sinew shall be stretched upon him. At a few drops of women's rheum, which are as cheap as lies, he sold the blood and labour of our great action. Therefore shall he die, and I'll renew me in his fall. But hark!
Your native town you ended like a post and had no welcomes home, but he returns, splitting the air with noise.
Patient fools whose children he hath slain, their base throats tear with giving him glory.
Therefore, at your vantage, ere he express himself or move the people with what he would say, let him feel your sword, which we will second. When he lies along, after your way his tale pronounced, shall bury his reasons with his body.
Say no more. Here come the lords.
Most welcome home.
I have not deserved it, but worthy lords, have you with heed perused what I have written to you?
No, we have. And grieved to hear it. What faults he made before the last, I think, might have found easy fines. But there to end where he was to begin, and give away the benefit of our levies, answering us with our own charge, making a treaty where there was a yielding, this admits no excuse.
He approaches. You shall hear him.
Soldier, no more infected with my country's love than when I parted hence, but still subsisting under your great command. You are to know that prosperously I have attempted and with bloody passage led your wars even to the gates of Rome. No! Our spoils we have brought home do more than counterpoise a full third part the charges of the action. We have made peace with no less honor to the Antiates than shame to the Romans. And we here deliver, subscribed by the consuls and patricians, together with the seal of the Senate, what we have compounded on.
Yay! Read it not, noble lords, but tell the traitor in the highest degree he hath abused your power.
Traitor! How now?
I, traitor Martius.
Martius!
I, Martius. Caius Martius. Dost thou think I'll grace thee with that robbery, thy stolen name Coriolanus in Coriolis? You lords and heads of the state, perfidiously he has betrayed your business and given up, for certain drops of salt, your city Rome. I say, your city, to his wife and mother, breaking his oath and resolution like a twist of rotten silk, never admitting counsel of the war, but at his nurse's tears, he whined and roared away your victory, that pages blushed at him, and men of heart looked wondering each at other.
Hearest thou, Mars?
Name not the god, thou boy of tears.
Ah!
No more!
Measureless liar! Thou hast made my heart too great for what contains it. Boy! Oh, slave! Pardon me, lords. 'Tis the first time that ever I was forced to scold. Your judgments, my grave lords, must give this cur the lie and his own notion, who wears my stripes impressed upon him, that must bear my beating to his grave, shall join to thrust the lie unto him.
Peace, both, and hear me speak.
Cut me to pieces, Volsces. Men and lads, stain all your edges on me. Boy, false hound, if you have writ your annals true, 'tis there that like an eagle in a dovecot I fluttered your vulsions in Coriolis. Alone I did it. Boy!
Why, noble lords, will you be put in mind of his blind fortune, which was your shame, by this unholy braggart for your own eyes and ears?
Let him die for it!
Tear him to pieces!
Peace!
Ho! No outrage! Peace! The man is noble, and his fame falls in this orb of the earth. His last offences to us shall have judicious hearing. Stand, Aufidius, and trouble not the peace.
Oh, that I had him with 6 Aufidiuses or more, his tribe, to use my lawful sword!
Insolent villain!
Kill him!
My noble masters, hear me speak.
Oh, Tullus,
Thou hast done a deed where that valor will weep.
Tread not upon him. Masters all, be quiet. Put up your swords.
My lords, when you shall know, as in this rage provoked by him you cannot, the great danger which this man's life did owe you, you'll rejoice that he is thus cut off. Please it your honors to call me to your senate. I'll deliver myself, your loyal servant, or endure your heaviest censure.
Bear from hence his body, and mourn you for him. Let him be regarded as the most noble course that ever herald did follow to his urn.
His own impatience takes from Aufidius a great part of blame. Let's make the best of it.
My rage is gone, and I am struck with sorrow. Take him up. Help, three of the chiefest soldiers. I'll be one. Beat thou the drum, that it speak mournfully. Trail your steel pikes. Though in this city he hath widowed and unchilded many a one, which to this hour bewail the injury, yet he shall have a noble memory. Assist.
Having trouble finding affordable fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe located in the Macmillan Building at UBC. There's also space available to study.
Tune in every other Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Blood on the Saddle with your host, Dan N., for real, authentic country.
Join Team PowerSmart. Set an energy conservation target of 10%. You'll get access to tools to help you conserve, and you can track your progress online. Visit bchydro.com/Team PowerSmart to join today. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
And that's all the time that we have for Skull Tall tonight. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John from all of us here at Vancouver. Please.